The Unseen War, Part 2. Last week we talked through Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. You know, that's the parable Jesus had of the persistent widow. And I made sure we were clear last week that when you see the widow that keeps going to the ungodly judge, we don't need to see prayer as a performance, or the harder I pray, the louder I pray, whether I get on the floor or not when I pray. That's, none of that is moving the heart of an all-knowing God. But Jesus did use an illustration of a reluctant judge. He had no respect for man. He had no respect for God. And she was persistent trying to get help, and she didn't give up. So basically, she was a woman of great faith that it was going to happen. And what Jesus was saying here is we need to keep moving forward. We need to stay persistent with God. And then at the very end, in verse 8, it says, when he comes back, will he find faith? And so what we want to do, and we're hearing more things through our ears and eyes than ever before because of internet, social media and things, we're constantly being barraged. We have to say, no matter what I hear, who I hear it from, no matter what happens, if this upcoming election, something implodes so we can't have an election, and we know it's probably staged, I'm going to continue to be faithful if those things happen. If Donald Trump is assassinated, I'm going to continue on trusting God. And we got to just keep moving forward. And so that's what the parable was about as we did our part one, The Unseen War. And just like what Randy was just describing, that's just his life. He's just one American. These type things are happening all around us because of the world in which we live, and it can all be traced back to Lucifer, Satan, who we're going to be looking at some more today. So the question is this: when he comes back, will he find faith in us? Let's remain faithful. Though this world system controlled by Satan, it causes us problems. Let's don't be surprised by anything. Let's keep moving forward with the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question is this, The Unseen War Part 2, where did Satan come from? We know that he could not have created himself, and we know the Bible teaches that everything that's created had to be created by God. That's what the Bible teaches. God is the creator of all things. So, Chris, are you saying God created evil? No, I'm not saying that. He is a perfect, loving God. He did not create evil. Something happened. So with these things in mind, we need to remember Satan was not always what he is now. When he was made by God, he was like everything else that God has ever made. He was actually perfect and he was good. This was before humanity. So let's think about his description. Now, these passages that I'm going to use today are so long. If you will, just follow along in the Bible. I didn't want to put that much in my PowerPoint because they are long passages. But let's look at his description, number one. Satan is a person. He's an angel. He's not like us. In some ways he is, but he's not thoroughly like us because he is an angel. So he can think, he can feel, and he can decide. But he's an angel. We were born dead in our trespasses and sins. Angels were originally created by God, and they were perfect. So look at Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm going to read through verses 12 to 19, and most commentators, conservative or maybe a little more liberal, would say that we believe this is describing Satan, Lucifer, even if, though it mentions the king of Tyre in some of these passages we're going to be looking at, we believe that there's a description here of Satan. We do believe he's real. Ezekiel 28, 12 through 19 says this, "You were the seal of perfection." Remember, we're reading God's word, written by God. "You were the seal of perfection." Notice that word, perfection. "Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering." And I can't pronounce these things. But here we go. The sardius, the topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. Now, he's contributing his appearance to these things, perfect in beauty. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. Notice, he was created. He did not create himself. You were the anointed cherub who covers. I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of the fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created, till iniquity was found in you. That's sin. That's where sin originated. God created him, made him perfect, but he chose to give in to pride. And so iniquity was found in him. That's where it all started. Everything you talked about earlier, Randy, it all can be traced back to this. Everything we talked about, we could call it politically, but the world system in which we live and what we're seeing happening all goes back to this. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within. That's where it came from. And you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. Why did God do that? It's because God, being perfect, cannot be in the presence of sin. He cannot be in the presence of sin. And if you think, well, this seems so indifferent and serious, but think about it. God had to die on the cross for our sin. That's how serious this is. God can't be in the presence. He has to cast it away. And he said, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. You say, Chris, if he destroyed him, why is he still wreaking havoc on this earth? You have to see this from an eternal view. Satan is already defeated. What seemed like a long time for us, to God, is not long. He said, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You see? Pause for a minute. What's the number one thing you see in the world? Everybody wants to present themselves as intelligent and beautiful. Some people's profile picture does not look, when you see them in person, they don't look the same. Why? Because we have it in us to want to be worshiped, I believe. And so this is where it all goes back to. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings, that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities, sins, by the sins of your trading. Therefore, I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. I turned you to ashes upon the earth in sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. So, Satan is not something. It was the early Christians who characterized him as some kind of an animal with horns, a long tail. And actually, they were doing this to try to make fun of him, to try to poke fun at him. And a lot of the caricatures that we see now of him goes way back in ancient history, where they were actually mocking him. Because the truth is, he was beautiful, he was wise, he was one so beautiful and wise that apart from God, people found themselves wanting to worship him. He does not look like something that would be repulsive to human beings. That serves him no purpose. He has the appearance that actually makes people want to worship him. And the Antichrist, when he emerges, He's not going to look like a slithering snake. He's going to be attractive. And listen, I believe he's even going to be attractive to all of us. That's where we have to be careful. And not only that, he's very wise. If you played a chess game against him, he would whip you hands down. He can take things that we feel deeply about, and he can turn them around and actually make us think we're seeing it even more deeply, but he has altered it some. That's where we have to be careful. We have to stay in the Word of God, or we're going to be deceived. I mean, all of us are going to be deceived if we're not faithful and stay in the Word of God. This is how he's stronger than us. He's wiser than us. He has to be at one place at a time, but he can travel quickly. We cannot fight him and win apart from Christ. It's no way. He's that superior. But of course, we know he's sailing a sinking ship, as Vance Havner used to say. So, he's not something. He's a person with great wisdom. Satan is not in hell. One day, God's going to put him there. Right now, he's roaming across this earth. Basically, he's trying his best to bring the whole world together as one and him being in charge. That's what he's doing. And guess what? It's working. We know where it's going to end up, but it is working. He's bringing the world together to be one. The Bible says that's what's going to happen. It's going to happen. And we're living in a time now that it actually can happen. So, the Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Now, that doesn't mean fearful. Oh, it doesn't mean that. Remember, we're men of faith. In other words, we choose to walk by faith. The same faith we exercised for our salvation, we continue to walk by faith day by day. And like the woman, the persistent woman who kept going to the judge, making her petition, she's not going to stop. We need to have the same mindset that I'm not going to give in to this world system the Bible already tells me about, that's controlled by Satan. The Bible already tells me about him. He's our adversary. I'm not going to cave in out of fear. We know a fear originates with him and confusion originates with him. I'm going to know that all that's there. I'm going to choose to walk by faith, even if my closest family members are deceived. That is going to happen. That's going to hurt, but we're going to have people very close to us that are going to be deceived. Well, just the same thing we saw with COVID, and I know there's different opinions on that, but we saw families get at each other's throats over COVID. That's physical. There's things like that are coming our way. And that's why I'm talking so much about agape love, because, my friend, listen, we're going to have to operate from agape love, or we're going to be so mad at each other, we're going to kill each other. Because people are controlling one another over things, and we're going to see this increase. He said, be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. That means don't be deceived. Don't be surprised. Your adversary, the devil, what is he doing? He prowls around like a roaring lion. What is he doing? Seeking someone to devour. That's what's going on. So we see his description. Second thing is this. Let's look at his defiance. We see this in Isaiah 14, 12 through 15. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground. You, notice this, who weakened the nations. You know why he weakens the nations? He weakens the nations so he can control the nations. Bring them down, top down, bottom up, if you want to call it that. Weaken them and then control them, confuse them, so eventually they will look to my wisdom and to my beauty. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, notice, he's now has iniquity in his heart. He's full of pride. For you have said in your heart of wickedness, your sin, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. Notice, he's saying, I will, I will, I will. And now he says, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. Now he's saying again, I will be like the Most High God. Now here's wisdom right here. He's saying, I will be like the Most High God, but he never said, I will become him, I will take his place, because he knows God will never cease to exist. He knows that. So like I said last week, you know, we just had an eclipse. Lewis Berry Schaefer said, Satan is trying to eclipse God, who he can never annihilate. He's trying to eclipse him. And in his mind, if I can just eclipse God, the world will worship me. So therefore, whether God exists or not, I can be worshiped by the world, which is his ultimate goal. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice this. He said, I will be like the Most High. What does that mean? He's so deceiving, so wise, so powerful that he's going to present himself in a way that's going to confuse even the elect. And we're going to get confused if we're not careful and stay in God's Word. Who exactly is God? You say, well, that can't happen to me. My friend, I'm already shocked at what's happening in Christianity. I'm shocked at what's going on with the SBC right now. I'm telling you, we need to be men, not arrogantly and not hateful, but loving, but faithful. And if it comes to the guillotine, we need to be willing to say, just go put my head down and say, send me to Jesus. We need to be that far along, because we see the defiance of Lucifer, who's far more powerful than us, and I'm not ruling out God being in us. I'm just saying it's not easy now, and it's only going to get more difficult. He said, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. That is his future. You see, Lucifer wanted to take God's place. He's absolutely defiant. It's sad. It's a sad story, but it's what the Bible teaches. Sin always causes separation and sadness. Third is this, his deception. Go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Lucifer now, I'm the most beautiful, I'm the wisest. And then he reaches and gets his iPhone, as I tell the young people, and he takes the first selfie with his phone that has a bitten apple on the back. And then God cast him out of heaven. And I agree with all of you. And you can ask God about this later. God knew every bit of this was going to happen. There's nothing he can't know. You can talk to him about that later. I trust him, and I'm just going to work him, and I'm going to be faithful. You can't figure that one out. Except God didn't make robots. He has given a choice to man, and apparently a choice to the angels, because look what Satan did with his choice, and look what we do also. Satan deceived Adam and Eve in the garden. God cast them away, and then we find them there. He went straight to the woman first, not to the man. He deceived her, I believe, because he knew, for the most part, women tend to control men. It's just the way it is. It's an issue in the SBC right now. And you look back through Christian history, you see it. But men who are wise and walk with God know how to handle a woman who has that tendency that's in them, just like men have these tendencies that we have. And so, God promised, I'm going to send through the seed of Abraham a Messiah. He's going to be your deliverer. I'm going to see that. So, God had promised a Messiah, a deliverer. We know it was Jesus. He's coming. Just like right now, we're thinking, when's Jesus coming again? We don't know, but you can mark it down. He's going to come. Just like in the Old Testament, you see the promise of the Messiah, and then they think, where is he? And then finally in Bethlehem, he's born. So God promised a deliverer who would destroy Satan. So Satan knows all these things. All through human history, what's been going on, if we researched all of history, Satan has been behind the scenes in an unseen war trying to stop the emergence of God's Son because Satan knew what was going to happen. Satan tried to keep God's promise from coming true. Satan has always hated Israel. What we're seeing right now, we're seeing a war, but behind this is all this stuff we're talking about that started long, long ago. It's unseen, although we're seeing this war playing out now. We're wondering what's going to happen next. I got friends who think the Lord Jesus is coming any moment, and they really believe it. They're not playing around, and they go through prophecy and all these things showing it. So, he's always hated Israel because the deliverer, the Messiah, who is Jesus, let me pause, and this will hurt some people's feelings if they hear the recording. It's amazing to me how Israel, the Jewish people, have denied Jesus, the deliverer, from the seed of Abraham. They continue to deny him. They're looking for a Messiah to come. They don't believe that he already has come. They're going to have to believe and receive, or they're going to find themselves in hell forever with the same Satan who's causing this problem in this unseen war behind the war we can see. One day they're going to be with him forever, and they can never get out. If they don't turn and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of looking for a Messiah, they need to say he's already come, but some do not like to even thought of that or to hear that. Far more Jewish people have yet to believe than have believed. And I do love the Jewish people, and I do believe we should pray for them, and we should bless them, and I think we should protect them. I believe that with all my heart. They are God's chosen people, but remember, they're the very ones when Jesus came down Palm Sunday Road and they were saying, hail him, hail him. It was just a few days later, they're saying, nail him, give us Barabbas. That is the truth of the Word of God. So, they tried to destroy Israel at the Red Sea. But look what God, he did something miraculous. And we may see some miraculous things just in a few moments or a few days or a few weeks from right now. Satan and his demons thought they were going to completely annihilate Israel. Did not want the Messiah one day to emerge. We've got to stop them. Same thing we're seeing right now. We've got to stop those who want to stand by the Constitution, which was written with the Word of God combined. We've got to stop them. Satan is behind the scene in this unseen war. They tried to stop Israel at the Red Sea. God worked a miracle and parted the Red Sea, and they walked through on dry ground. God's in control. He's always been in control. Why he allows things to happen, we cannot know that, but we have to trust him. He tried to destroy them at the time of Esther when they were captives. He tried to lead them into sin through wicked kings. Think about Jezebel. She was wicked. Think about all the wicked things that happen because Satan's behind the scenes. Remember, if he can cause wickedness, fear, and confusion, he can weaken the nations so that he can control the people in the nations. If they're strong in the Lord, he cannot do anything. But if they're not strong in the Lord, he's got them. So, he tried to kill the baby Jesus when he was born with the decree that went out. Why did that ever happen? Trying to stop God. He knows the Trinity. Satan knows the Trinity. So, he stirred up people to throw Jesus off a cliff. What did Jesus do? He got to the point, and I've been on this cliff. Kevin's been on it. He stopped, and he turned around and he walked right back through the crowd. They couldn't even touch him. They could not do anything to him. They pushed him all the way to the cliff, where they killed a lot of people who were criminals and things. That's the way they killed them. Jesus just stopped right there and just turned and walked back through the crowd and nobody could touch him. Why? Because it wasn't God's plan for him to die right then and there. It was God's plan for him to die in Jerusalem on a cross. And so, Satan was instigating, trying to make that happen. God said no, timing's not yet. He stirred up religious and political leaders to crucify Jesus. What he does, the Bible's clear. This is what he does. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 4. Satan blinds the mind of unbelievers. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case, look at this, the little g there, the one who said, I will ascend to be like the Most High God, in whose case the god of this world, world system, which is very small compared to all that God has created, has blinded the minds, not going to, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. In other words, I'm going to do things in such a way so that these people can't see God. He confuses. He's like an imitation, but he knows he's an imitation. But if it works, he's okay. He's trying to eclipse God so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So, I agree with you. I see some things on the news. I see certain entertainers, actors. I see certain kind of music being sung. I see certain kind of dances being done. And I see women dressing, basically, they're dressing in a perverted clothes. I see all that, and it makes me mad. But listen, when you think about this, why are they doing that? It all goes back to Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, the devil. All that comes from him into mankind, and he's using this to weaken the people. Because if people would walk with God, he wouldn't have a chance. He's weakening the people, which weakens the nations. It's an unseen world that's going on. And so, Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Now, we've looked in the Old Testament at the Old Testament prophets. This is New Testament. 2 Corinthians 11:14. Paul says, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself, notice, an unseen war. Why? Because it is a war, but it's disguised. There is Satan. He disguises himself as an angel of light. That's where things are in this unseen war. Lost people unknowingly help Satan in his work. People who are saved, but they're carnal, they haven't grown, or either they think they're saved, they just came through tradition of Baptist life, but they've never been born again, they're helping Satan and they don't know they are. They're just wanting people, just say politically. You mentioned the politicians and all this involved. They make decisions that deep in their heart they know this is really not right, but if I make this decision, the people are going to be mad at me. So they know better, but they go ahead and vote a certain way because they want people to keep supporting them. They don't want people to walk away from them. Who does that remind you of? This is the way Satan operates. Instead of doing the right thing before God who loves us, they're choosing to do the wrong thing because ultimately I want to be worshiped by human beings. That is a major problem we have. We want to be worshiped. And so, demons are the fallen angels, serve Satan and his purposes. He rules over them. They followed him from heaven. They're still following him now. I believe they worship him. And they actually do his bidding. So we must remember this right here. I love this. New Testament, 1 John 4:4. You are from God. Guess who else is from God? Lucifer. We're from God, each one of us, or we wouldn't be here. Then he says, little children. We're children of God. We've been born again, born from above. We're children of God. And he lives in us by the Holy Spirit. He's transforming our mind. Why is he transforming our mind with his word? It's because Satan polluted us with his own sin. That's why we see characteristics that we read about with him. We see that in our own personal lives. Even as Christians, we cannot be indwelt by him. But we can become like him if we're not choosing to become like Christ. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. Earlier I said, let's remain faithful. Things get dark. We may even get executed. Let's remain faithful. Why? Because according to the Word of God, you're in Christ. Christ is in you. You've already overcome this world system, whether you realize it or not. Your emotions may tell you that you haven't, but according to the Word of God, you're in Christ who's already overcome sin. He's already overcome the world system. Satan's home's already, he's already destined for hell forever. He'll never be able to come out. Little children, and have overcome them because greater is He, Jehovah God, who is in you, the Holy Spirit in us, than he, Lucifer, Satan, who is in this world, this unseen war goes all the way back to him. And we're seeing some things through the news and social media, but where it's all coming from, we're not always seeing it. We know because of the Word of God. So, in you is the Holy Spirit. Instead of me saying, I got to fight Satan, y'all get with me, we're going to fight. No, say no. The one who's in me is going to fight him, because if I fight him, he's already laughing his head off. I'm a sunk duck. But Christ in me, the Holy Spirit, he's already overcome he who is in the world, which we know is Satan, who's overseeing this world that we know the Bible teaches is passing away. So, here's the question again from last week. When he comes, will he find in each of us on this earth, will he find faith? Remember Noah, they laughed at him for building an ark. At that time, there had never been rain. The vegetation was watered from the ground up. It did not come from the sky. So he's building this boat, and they say, why are you building this boat? Because there's going to be a flood. What's a flood? They were laughing at him. They probably called him Crazy Noah. But you know what? Out of all that ridicule, he stayed steadfast, and he built the ark. And then when God said, go in, he went in. The flood happened, destroyed humanity. And as I said last week, in the days of Noah, all the people on earth, their minds were only evil continually. We're there now, even us as children of God. I'm not saying continually, but we have evil in our minds, and the Holy Spirit convicts us of it. In Noah's day, the minds of the people were only evil continually. And then what did Jesus say? Not only remember the days of Noah, remember the days of Lot. He was told to go out of the city, and he went out, though he was not understood by his family. He went out, and then it was totally destroyed. You love your family, I love my family. But we're living in days, in the days ahead, we're going to be shocked at people who may get confused. Who's God here? They may get confused. If that makes us mad, something's wrong with us. If it makes us sad, something's right with us. We don't have to be mean and say, it says right here in God's Word. We need to be on our knees, loving, showing people, I'm telling you, here's the truth right here. Walk in it, believe it. You got to walk by faith. Because we're a society that wants proof by what we can taste, what we can wear, what we can drive, where we can go. We want to proof instead of choosing to walk by faith. So, my encouragement to all of us is simply, choose to walk in the Spirit until we walk in the Spirit without choosing. If we don't do that, Satan will flip it on us and we'll be walking by what we see and hear and not realize it. Let's be men of faith. Be found faithful when he returns. So what are some thoughts?
Pause it or have Carolyn edit this.
Okay.
I want to reiterate what you were saying. When we started my situation, I was being led to believe by Christians, federal agents who proclaimed Christ. Out of 45 of them that I dealt with, there was a close 8 that proclaimed it, but I was being led for the agents for the greater good of what we were doing, that the Holy Spirit warned me, and actually that I was being misled and lied to by most every one of them. But the Lord put one in my life months after I had started. know where he was from. He was a member of this church, and I didn't know him. But guess what happened to him when they found out that we went to the same church? Even though I helped him for a few months before they found out, they transferred him halfway across the country. But he stood as we stand here.
Yeah.
But he warned me on more than one occasion what was the true focus, and that the deception was there, even though it was painted as a greater good, we're doing the right thing.
So what would y'all say the deep state is? When you hear deep state, what would you say, Kevin? When you hear those two words, deep state, what would you say? What's that?
Florida.
Deep state. No, the deep state is basically what's happening in our country with our officials. The swamp.
There's deception, so much deception that, like you said, you can't really, they come, like Satan, they come, hey, you have a personal life, but it's not. There's so much deception that who do you trust? And I like the example you gave of Satan eclipsing God. In other words, he knows I can't put him out, but if I can get in front of him, that's all they see. And like you said, we focus on the city, and that's where a lot of the deception is. It's a desire we have to get it. Now, Randy was being forced. He didn't have that desire, but he was being used, so they made him work, you know. But that's kind of what happens. And then again, you know, as I get older, I get more forgetful, you know, so I don't remember the Word of God. Somebody has to remind it. And that's true, too, you know. You forget things because this is what's constantly in front of you, so you remember what's constantly in front of you. But something's back here, and we've, you know, been blinded.
Yeah.
We're seeing Satan versus God. Then we can be led that way to see.
Amen.
So, I don't know if I'm answering your question.
No, you wanted, yeah. It's the unseen war. What do you think, Lee? I mean, you probably...
I heard somebody in this church once that said, as long as we have Bellevue, we'll be okay. And...
there's still humans here.
Well, true, but, you know, it's just... institutions will fall. What we think is true may not be true. You mentioned the Southern Baptist Convention. If the Southern Baptist Convention fell tomorrow, God's still okay.
That's right.
God occasionally teaches us, I don't need Bellevue. He's taught us a lot of the other churches that have failed in the area. I don't need those. We can't get caught up in the deep state and other things because we know that is evil. It's out there. We can't change it. I'm tired of trying to even educate people on what it truly means because they are blinded and they will not recover. What I do understand as well is that even though they're blinded, every single individual has an opportunity to see the light and make that choice. Am I one to follow Christ or not? So every individual has that. Even those that have not been born again, have not been born, have that opportunity. We don't understand it, but God has a way of making sure that that is the case. So I'm not going to try to guess what God's thinking or even what the devil's thinking. I can't get caught up in that because I will waste all of my time doing that. I understand it's definitely a war. No doubt about that. And honestly, we're going to lose.
God's going to win.
We're going to lose.
God's going to win.
True, but not on this world. He's going to lose, and he's okay with that.
Yeah.
And so why in the world do we keep fighting it?
Yeah.
We need to understand it so that when someone asks, because God has opened their hearts to his message, we should be prepared. But at the same time, like I said last week, you know, somebody has no interest, no desire, and says, I'm going to hell and I know it. You know, how do I get there? Take a left at the light, keep going, you won't miss it.
It's a wide, very wide road. Or if you can take a right and be on an arrow.
I say left because Republicans are right.
What do you think on the wall for me on our nation and what was going on was when I was introduced. CIA agent told that I needed to go overseas with him and do some work over there at the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia and Syria. And that's when I knew that I probably wouldn't be back if I ever went, the way our political system was going. And this was 08 and 09. Look how far we've come away from that since then.
Speeding up. Listen to this. Romans, going back to what you said, Lee, about people basically having to make a choice. Romans 1:18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They hold it down. They're aware of it. They hold it down. Well, this is being instigated by Satan and his demons and then our fallen nature, because we're born in trespasses and sins. Verse 19 of Romans 1, because what may be known of God is manifest, that is, made visible in them. Satan is blinding the minds of people on earth, and the Bible says those people that he's blinding their minds, he's saying God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. But what are they doing? They're suppressing that truth. They're pushing it down. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, just walk outside, are clearly seen, not vaguely seen, being understood by the things which are made. He is our Creator, even His eternal power and God is. So they are without excuse. And I'm not trying to sound sarcastic. The unbelieving have it in them that there is a God. They're suppressing the truth within them. And so therefore, when they stand before the Lord who loves them, they're without excuse. Verse 21, because although they knew God, they did know, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. That's the unseen war. That's what's happening. And yes, we do have a part to play. Professing to be wise, Satan, wise, beautiful, I will. Professing to be wise, they're talking about humans here. He's talking about humans. They became fools. Satan is the first fool. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. This is the unseen war. This is what's happening behind the scenes. And when we see this and we know this, we're watching it unfold. And birds and four-footed animals and creeping things, things that God Himself created. Therefore, what did God do? Also gave them up to uncleanness. We're seeing this. In the lust of their hearts. Where did that come from? Lucifer. To dishonor their bodies among themselves. It's all happening right now in our day. Who exchanged, notice, an exchange. What does Lucifer do? He deceives. He eclipses. Who exchanged the truth of God for what? A lie. Lucifer, Satan, the father of all lies. And worshiped and served the creature. If we're not doing that now, oh my word, we're worshiping one another. The creature, rather than, flip it, the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. This is happening. And it was here long before we were here. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another. That's satanic, demonic. Men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You know why? To retain God in my knowledge makes me feel convicted. I don't like it, so I'm going to try to eclipse him in my thinking so that I'm not bothered by what I love to do. Lucifer. God gave them over to a debased mind. How you think determines what you do, determines how you feel. To do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent. He, little g, is a god of violence. Are we not seeing an increase in that on the streets? Proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Who invented pornography? I'm talking where you actually put images out so people can look at them. Started with magazines and then it went in to digital. Disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice, that means it's continual, it's a way of life. Those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. That is where we are. We're to remain faithful and persistent. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Let's keep going. Amen.